in our younger days in not the most beautiful way for some of us. Some of the rest of us didn't have we've always just lived in the church. We follow the church rules, thinking this is good. But we all have to come to the foot of the cross, don't we? That's where we get our identity. I'd like for you this morning to turn to Genesis 25. We're going to spend a little bit of time there. Something I thought about as I was looking at the message this morning, thinking about our past, and that is we dare not give our past the power to define who we are today. Our past may have shaped us, but to be a new creation in Christ gives us the opportunity of a brand new day. Think about that this week as you step outside in the morning to go to work, or as maybe you're a mother and you look out the window. And think about the fact that God has given you a brand new day. Yesterday's gone. Today is today. And as we lean on Christ, as we take in what He gives us and we walk with Him, we have a brand new opportunity to live for Him. I have a key verse this morning that I like to think about, and that's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And we want to look at a man this morning in Genesis 25, verse 27 is where we're going to begin. But we want to look at a man this morning that was a deceiver, Jacob. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but I want us to think about who Jacob was before he met the Lord. For all of us, who we were in our past before we met God. And if we haven't met God yet, I hope this morning is an encouragement to you to be thinking about that. Because we are all to meet the Father. We want to spend our eternity with Him. We all have to if we want to spend eternity with Him. Hanging on to my water, I'm going to dump it here in a second. Okay, Genesis 25, verse 27. And we're going to hop a little bit here. And we'll try to tell you where I'm at as I go. But we're thinking about Jacob. His name means supplanter or deceiver. A supplanter is one who takes the place of someone or something wrongfully or illegally that was first. And we think about him, even in the womb as he was coming forth, he reached out and he grabbed his brother's heel. And we're going to go on a little bit further here. And we're going to see what all happened in Jacob's life. How that he was a deceiver. He was a supplanter. He wanted what somebody else had. Because he was in that sinful nature like we all were. Genesis 25, verse 27. Says, "And the boys grew," talking here about Jacob and Esau, the brothers. "And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob." And those were the two boys that we talk about here, that we see here. Let's move on to Genesis 25, verse 33. Then we're going to see here where Jacob receives the family birthright. Jacob talking here to Esau in verse 33, he says, "And Jacob said, 'Swear to me.'" Esau had asked him for some food. We'll see that. "And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." And Jacob really didn't have a right to that birthright. But because of who he was, it was okay with him. Let's go on to chapter 27, verse 3. Genesis 27, 3. We're going to see here where Jacob deceives Isaac. Verse 3, "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver," and Isaac was his dad here, "thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I have, such as I love," I'm sorry, "and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die." Here he was talking to Esau, asking him to go out hunt, and to bring back some venison. Fix what I like. He was getting ready to die, and he wanted to bless him. And Rebekah heard, verse 5, of Genesis 27. "And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it in." So now Esau's gone. Jacob's at home with his mom, with his dad. And then we go to verse 28 of Genesis 27. Jacob's mom prepared food, and she gave skins to put on Jacob, because she wanted Jacob to have the blessing instead. And Jacob was willing to go with this. Again, a deceiver. Verse 28. Therefore, God give thee, this is Isaac talking to Jacob now, after he received the food. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let the people serve thee. Nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren. Let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed is he that blesseth thee. So Jacob was living a life of deception. And then Esau comes in and finds out what happened. And he said, once we're done mourning, I'm going to kill Jacob. So Jacob's mom suggests, why don't you leave? She comes to Isaac, she makes a suggestion, and Isaac was with her on this. Move to Paddan Aram. Go over there to where her family is from, to the house of Laban, his uncle. Go find yourself a wife there. So he leaves. And as he leaves, he had a dream one night. And he was out there, he had his head on the rocks as a pillow. He had a dream. And this dream was a ladder with the angels of God going up and down to heaven, to the earth. And then he said in verse 16 of Genesis 28, he said, surely the Lord is in this place and I knew it not. Then we go on down to verse 20 of Genesis 28. Jacob makes a vow here. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Then Jacob moves on. He meets Rachel. He meets Leah. And Laban ends up deceiving him also. So we have Jacob as a deceiver. Now we have Laban as a deceiver. I'd like for us to go to Genesis 32. We're going to read a little bit out of Genesis 32 here. And I want us to see an encounter here that Jacob had that changed his life. Remember, our focus this morning has to do with an encounter with God. To see that as we encounter God, we are freed from our past and we receive a new identity. Follow along with me as I read in Genesis 32, verse 22. We're going to read down to verse 32. Again, getting a picture of Jacob being a deceiver. And let's see what happens here as he meets God. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. Here he is. He is finally tired of living with Laban. Laban had deceived him so many times. He said, we're going back home. So he packs up his people and they slip out. We're going to go home. Verse 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man or an angel with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. He touched Jacob's thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask for my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eaten out of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. This was Jacob's encounter with God, and it changed Jacob's ways. No longer was he to be Jacob. That was his old life. Now he was to be Israel. And I want us to think again about what verse 26, verse 28 said here. He said, and thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel. Now listen to the last part here. He said, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. This idea of prevail says you have endured, you have overcome. Now that he has had that meeting, now he can be an overcomer. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. As we meet Christ, as we have a new identity, we are overcomers. So many of us have the idea, and I'm talking about the world in general, not pointing at our church here, but so many of us have the idea as our world in general, that as we give our hearts to the Lord, we still can't be overcomers. Yes, we're still in this body, and yes, we're still fighting against sin. But God has given us the power to become overcomers if we continue our walk with Him. Our identity has been changed. Jacob's life prior to the angel, meeting the angel here, was not a good life. My life prior to meeting the Lord was not a good life, and I'm guessing you can say the same for yourself. But our identity has changed. We now belong to a different party. Let's look at a few things that have changed since we've received this new identity. When we receive our new identity in Christ, our lifestyle will change. Well, wait a minute. Now all of a sudden we get the idea that there's works involved. I heard a lot about works this morning. Talking about Mary Keeley here. Doing things. Sam is talking about those that are working behind the scenes. There's a lot of works that goes on in this church. Now, I want us to be clear that no, we're not saved by works, but we can't go on serving the Lord without works. I preached that so many times, I kind of think sometimes you think, why is he saying that again? But it's a fact. It's scripture. If we are walking with God, there's going to be good works that come from within us. Why? Not because we're good, but because we serve a God who's good. Because we serve a God who loves us. So we have good works out of our love for Him. Ephesians 2 verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. We talk about the conversation here. Conversation is our lifestyle, how we live. We all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. But then he also talks about the desires of the flesh and the mind. The desires of the flesh here are human nature. Our human nature apart from divine influence. He talks about the desires of the mind, our thoughts and our understanding, our intellect. What we thought about. How we acted, what we thought about. All things that were satisfying to ourselves, but not honoring to God. He said that's where we've all been. That's how we used to live. And then he says, and we're by nature the children of wrath, subject to God's anger. There's a verse in 1 Peter 4:3 that said, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excessive wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Pictures of the past. Pictures of where we came from. But we have a new identity today as we walk with God. And we've received Him into our heart. If He's the King of our life, we have a brand new identity today. Galatians 5 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's so common today for us to have the idea that we can have a new identity in Christ. We can consider ourselves to be believers. We can show up in church, but our life hasn't changed. Our life is the same every day throughout the week, just like it was before I came to the Lord. But as our life, as we give ourselves to Christ, as that changes, as we receive His power within us, there are things that begin happening within us that show who we are. I can hide for a while, but I can't hide all the time. If I'm not living for Christ and I make a profession of Christ, eventually you're going to see that I'm not really living for Christ. It's going to come out. If you're serving Christ by how you live, eventually you're going to see it. It's going to come out. Second Corinthians 5:17, our same verse again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are now a part of God's family. We are His sons and daughters. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself, even as He is pure. But we are His sons and daughters. We are part of the family. Again, Ephesians 5:8 says, For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. I want us to think for a little bit about being part of the family, being sons and daughters. And as those of us that are walking with Christ, and there's many of you here this morning, I'm so excited about that. That's our drive, hopefully, to walk closer to Christ, to know Him in a more personal level. But I want us to think for a little bit about being part of God's family. There's a few of us here this morning that have been orphans in our life. We didn't have parents. Most of us here have not been orphans. But I challenge you to go talk to somebody that was an orphan and they were old enough to understand what it was to be an orphan. There's an emptiness, there's a lostness. But there is an excitement when they hear that there's a family. Sam and Miriam, I know there was excitement when Deanna found out she had a family. Maybe that's one of the reasons we don't quite get what it is to be a part of the family of God, because we have never considered ourselves to be orphans. But without God, without Christ, we're orphans. We need family. It's exciting to me when I think about adoption. To see a child that doesn't have family, now has a family. It changes their life. May I ask this morning, has your life been changed because you've realized you're an orphan without Christ? We all need Christ. We need the father figure in our lives. We are the bride. We have this new identity, and our lives have been changed. There's something else that happens as we take on this new identity. And that's that as believers, we have or we share the same status with those around us that also have received this new identity. I am so excited when I see an older person that has walked with the Lord for years come up next to a younger Christian that has just begun. He really doesn't have a deep relationship with God yet. He really isn't sure what direction is this going to take me. But as this older person comes next to this younger person and they begin to disciple them, to lead them, that's a beautiful picture. I was listening or reading something this week about discipleship. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I think I will. But this guy was talking about discipleship and he was saying how discipleship does not happen over the pulpit. Because we can preach all we want to preach, it's going to be up to you if you're going to listen or not. It's going to be up to the Holy Spirit to talk to you, and maybe you have a choice there. Yes, you do. But it said discipleship actually happens shoulder to shoulder, is basically what he was saying. Walking next to somebody. Discipleship can begin up here. But I believe it takes us as believers to be willing to give of ourselves, to let go of some of the needs that we have, the wants that we have, to walk side by side. I don't know if you remember probably 3 years or so, I had a bunch of you men up here, and then I had the youth come up and link arms with you. You remember that? Some of you do. But I like to think about discipleship in that way. We're not fighting by ourselves. We've got somebody next to us. Somebody we can talk to. Yes, we have Jesus, we have the Father, we have the Holy Spirit that we can communicate with. But we need each other. We need each other to walk this walk. And to encourage each other on. We all have the same status. Colossians 3:11 says this, but where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. And I have to think about this as Christ is a personal God. He's very personal with each one of us. He names here a bunch of different people here, the Greek or the Jew, the circumcised or the uncircumcised, the barbarian, barbaric people, the Scythian, those were foreigners, bond or free. But he says here, Christ is all. When I think about that, he is all for every one of these people. He's all. But then he doesn't end with that. He says at the end, and in all. My desire is that when you pray for us as we minister, or when you pray for your brothers or sister, that you don't pray specifically that the Holy Spirit comes upon them, but that you pray that the Holy Spirit works out of them. Because the Holy Spirit is within us. He came upon them in the Old Testament, but I believe in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So as we walk our lives together as brothers and sisters with Christ, there's something that comes from within because that's where He dwells. He's within us. Peter of the day of Pentecost shared a sermon. I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Peter was sharing here, and this was his message. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins or the cancellation of your debt, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." This brings us all back to the same level, doesn't it? We all need it. We receive it not because we are something, but because Jesus is something. Because He died for us. That's the reason we can receive what He has for us. Same for us today. Verse 39, "For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did He testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Now look in verse 41, what happened to those that heeded what Peter had to say. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Can you imagine what that was like? No, this isn't some fairy tale. This is reality. 3,000 souls added to him, or to them there. I'm sorry, I'm getting my notes mixed up here. Back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, the same verse we just read. It says, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew," thinking about the different people, how Christ is all for every one of them, how it brings us back to the same level. I want to share a little bit about a pastor in San Antonio that I met. He lived right across the street from us. But as I share this, I want us to think about the fact that God looks down on us, and His desire is that we give our hearts to Him and that we walk with Him. And what I'd like for us to think about as I share this story, just this little time here, is how God works in each one of our lives. It doesn't matter who we are. But as He calls us His children, as we give our hearts to Him, He begins a work within us. And we all function to honor and glorify Him. Pastor Joe lived across the street from our house. Streets were tight there. We were able to talk to each other across the street. We got a call that night, 5 weeks after we lived there, that Vonda's dad had passed. It brings back some emotions when I think about that. Vonda's dad had passed, and I had got to know Pastor Joe for quite a while there. Those 5 weeks that they were there, we talked a lot. We shared a lot of scripture and just talked about different things. So one of the first things that I did after we talked as a family, I went across the road and I knocked on Joe's door. And I told Pastor Joe, I said, "My father-in-law just passed away. I said, we need to find tickets to go back home, but I just wanted to let you know we're going to be gone." As Pastor Joe listened to me, I could tell all of a sudden the compassion that was coming into his heart for us. This is what we are as believers. Pastor Joe didn't send me back over to my house. He got right beside me and he walked back over with me. He walked right into our house, went over, sat next to me on the computer. And he helped me look for tickets to come back to Michigan for the funeral. Why? Because Pastor Joe served the same God that I'm serving. And I have to ask myself today, is my heart so full of compassion that I'm willing to lay down exactly what I have, what I'm doing, what I think is so personal to me, for the sake of my brothers and sisters? Am I willing to lay that down and link arms with a brother or sister and walk wherever and spend time with them because they need somebody? It brings us all to the same level. I had no higher status than Joe that day, and he had no higher status than I did. But there was love. I'd like for us to go to Colossians 3. We're going to read a little bit here. We're going to begin in verse 10, Colossians 3, verse 10. And I want us to look a little bit here. This is where I found the verse about the Greek, the Jew, the circumcision, the uncircumcision. But I want us to read through that, and I want us to think about what it is, how we are to live as brothers and sisters. Because we have a new identity. Colossians 3 verse 10, it says, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." I'm kind of breaking in here. "For there is neither Greek or Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you." May I say this as I'm reading this verse? Here's a big test. Because if somebody has a quarrel against me, it's easy for me to quarrel back at him. That's not what he says should happen. He said, "Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Verse 14, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Verse 14 really struck me as I was reading that. It says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." 1 Corinthians 13, we've talked about this before, talks about love. He lists a lot of things here that we are to do, how we are to live. But if we do all of these things without the bond of charity, without love, or the bond of perfectness, charity, putting on charity, love, if we do all these things without love, it's empty. It's useless. Yeah, we do good, but it's empty without Christ. So here's what I want us to think about this morning. As we encounter God, whether this is in being born again or if it's in our everyday life, as we come to Jesus in daily repentance and worship, there's an amazing freedom that we experience from our past. No longer do we look back and allow Satan to look back and point and say, "Yeah, that's where you were." But we can take him back to that altar and we can tell him, "Yes, that's where we were, but this is where I am today. I'm no longer your servant. I now serve another God. The real God, the true God, the only God." The world's going to tell us it's not worth it. Life's too short. Enjoy life. Party. I say it's not worth not serving God. Life is too short. Eternity is too long. He loves us so much. That's why we serve. So hear me this morning as I share with you Again, just the idea, or this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Hear me this morning as I share this verse again of who we are to be in Christ. What has to happen in our lives? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Is that my testimony this morning? That the old things are gone? We're living with a new identity? Sometimes we put things in place, and I think sometimes maybe we have the idea that we can be good enough, and it's a substitute. But we can't. We can't be good enough. It's only through His blood that we can have this freedom, this new life. So I challenge you this morning, think about this. Allow it to sink in throughout this week. What is my walk? Do I identify with Christ? Is there something new that's been happening within me as I walk with Him, as I draw close to Him? God bless you this morning. Let's stand for prayer. Father, again, we thank You this morning for being our Father. We thank You for that opportunity that You've given us to serve You. You went to the cross, dear Jesus, to give Your life for us. And You promised us the Holy Spirit to be with us as You return. And now You've also promised us that You're going to return for us to take us home. And in the meantime, Lord, we are to walk with You, to live lives that are holy, that are pleasing to You, to live lives that are full of good works, that Your name may be made great. Father, I pray Your blessing over this congregation this morning. I pray Your blessing on each visitor that's here. Lord, we all are in the same boat. We all need You. So I pray this morning that we would walk faithfully, that we'd heed Your Spirit. And Lord, allow us, or allow You, to open us up, to take out that cold heart and to put in a heart of flesh. And to shape us and to mold us, Lord, to glorify Your perfect name. You're so good to us. We just bless You. We honor You. Dismiss us with Your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.